This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, hello. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gradham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
What's going on, fuckers? Welcome to a new podcast here today. Cyclone Fanatic. We're at the Charter House office in Ankeny, and we're ready to talk about an Iowa State football game that I think they're going to win, right? Clones are going to win on Saturday.
One of at least two this year that they're going to win. I'm excited about that. It's nice to
you're,
win.
You're excited about going 2-10?
No, but I'm excited about winning a game.
Win a game, yeah.
Yeah, winning a game.
It's a must-win, isn't it? I mean,
must-win, like, by what standards? Like, what happens if they, like...
I think it's a must-win.
They're
obviously not going to a bowl game.
Yeah, like...
Must-win for keeping the fan base from jumping off the Campbell a little earlier than they should. Must-win as far as recruits go. You don't want... You know, Iowa State's done a good job recruiting. You don't want to see a lot more recruits backing out. And they actually have a big... basketball recruiting weekend too. I think winning always helps when recruits are on campus.
There's no question that winning helps. I think too, and I'm sure as is always the case, things are deeper than they appear. But they're already they quote unquote lost a recruit this week.
They've lost two in the last 2 weeks.
I mean, being 0-3 doesn't help. Being 0-4 won't help anymore. And
to be fair though, the kid that decommitted was never really committed. To be fair,
correct.
He was net. I mean, that kid, he committed and he's gone on like 3 or 4 other visits since then. He's tweeting out how he wants, you know,
what's the point then? Why do they do it?
Because they like attention.
Yeah.
So they want to be the highlight on Twitter for a day?
Yes.
Iowa State talks all about him.
Absolutely.
Oh, stupid. But I feel like the Iowa State fan base is really expecting a win this week. But I also think that the average fan would know nothing about San Jose State. They're just hearing that and thinking they're worse than us. I mean, and you know, we don't have to go right into game preview, but are they right? Is San Jose State worse than us? And if they are, by a lot? I mean, how do you guys view what's coming up this weekend?
They're 6.5 points worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're significantly worse than Iowa State. This is a game Iowa State should win. I think the only thing that scares me, and you go back and look at that TCU game, at one point Iowa State had 5 walk-ons on the field. Seda, or is it Seda or Shada? How do they say his name?
Shada.
Shada, Fett, Trevor Ryan's a walk-on. I know he's a scholarship player now, but yeah. I'm just saying.
Yep.
And then both the tight ends that they had on the field for one play, both walk-ons.
Yep.
That's not good. There's obviously a depth problem. So I don't think you can go into any game thinking, man, Iowa State is better than this team.
Who is 88 for us at tight end?
The one-handed catch?
Yeah. Chandler.
Yeah, that's a big boy.
Yeah, he's a big
tight end. That's got to be one of the bigger tight ends in the country.
As far as thickness goes, yeah.
Holy crap, I wouldn't want to tackle that guy. That was a great catch, though.
That was.
Highlight of the game, in my opinion. But are you guys both on board with Iowa State winning then? I mean, we all want them to.
I think they'll win.
Yeah, I think they'll win by 9.
What does San Jose State do as a team? What can we expect to see out of them?
They have a good quarterback.
The quarterback's good, yeah. He can run, throws on the run. Yeah, I mean, But their offensive line sucks.
They spread it out.
I saw, Chris, you said they gave up 10 sacks.
Correct.
Against Utah.
Utah has a really good defensive line. I'll give them that. So, however, that's an insane number of sacks.
But this, so this is a battle of frankly, really bad offensive lines.
No question.
Yep.
So, terrible offensive lines.
Which offensive line would be better? Iowa State's actually against TCU did play better.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. All things considered, like what you went into the game expecting. Well, they didn't
give up 10 sacks. I mean,
they gave Lanning and Park some nice pockets at times, and there were some running holes. I mean, I think Mike Warren missed a couple, to be honest with you, but that's going to happen.
So, Gray, I'll put you on the spot because why not? This is what we do here.
I appreciate that.
You're the head coach of Iowa State. Who do you start at quarterback tomorrow? Saturday, not tomorrow.
I think he still start Lanning. I don't think Park's done. Park's made some nice flashes, but I don't think he's shown anything consistently to make that change yet. I thought if Lanning was worse against TCU, this would have been a perfect game to start Park because it's at home against a team that you should be. Easy to get him kind of acclimated as being the starter.
Yeah.
But, you know, he made some nice throws, but I don't think he's done anything so far to stand out as being significantly better than Joel Lanning. Would you agree?
More accurate, though?
Yeah, I would.
Oh, he's definitely more accurate. Yeah. I mean, I think you're more accurate at times than Joel Lanning.
I would start Lanning. Yeah. And all the scoring drives, I think, other than the last field goal, were led by Lanning.
By Lanning, yeah.
And, frankly, I thought Joel got – his stats should have been better than they were. There were a lot of drops when he was in the game.
Daly had two or three of them, yeah.
Was that garbage offensive pass interference? Was that when Park or Lanning
Park.
Was quarterback? Yeah, okay. So Park had a hit against his statistics there that he should have had more.
Yep.
But I thought Joel played – I thought Joel looked more like a Big 12 quarterback on Saturday. But that doesn't – you know, that's only Jacob Park's second time out there too. So you can't
– This time last year he was playing – Church League football.
Correct.
So he's still trying to get up to speed. Lanning is a captain. That does mean something.
I want him to just keep playing them both.
I agree.
Figure out like a better way. I'm not going to complain about it because they did exactly what I asked them to do last week, which is to play them both and just see if somebody stood out. However, Lanning clearly had a hotter hand than Park did last week, and then they would.
Was it clear? I mean,
I thought it was.
I know he scored. I know he had that big tough touchdown run, but he also missed a couple easy intermediate passes to try.
Well, I know, but
stuff.
I mean, Dondre Daly dropped three of his passes. That would have been three first downs, probably.
He did drop them. To be fair, though, they weren't the most accurate of throws.
Yeah, but they hit him. Like a good receiver would catch that.
Yeah,
no, hit your hands, you got to catch it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the rule, right?
I don't put those on Lanning.
The fourth down one where it was high. That was more Lanning than the two other ones were more Dondre Daly.
Okay, fine. Then he would have had two more receptions.
No, I get it. And I'm sitting here saying that Lanning should be the starter. I thought both of them were pretty much a wash, though. There's not one that stood out. If Iowa State's able to run the ball, Joel Lanning should be the quarterback because he brings that tough physical running presence.
Hit a great touchdown run.
If Iowa State needs to throw the ball to try to win football games, then Jacob Park should be quarterback. He throws a better ball. He's a little bit more accurate.
I don't disagree with that. I think in a game like this, Lanning will be fine, though. They should be able to run the ball on Saturday.
They should, yeah.
Keyword should.
They should.
We had an interesting discussion this week in our Vegas text change. Vegas is coming up in about 3 weeks or so.
Are you going to get a massage this year?
I might. That sounds hinky when you say it like that. It was legit.
It was your birthday.
Yeah, it was my birthday, and it was like in the casino, a legit place.
Sorry,
it wasn't like the one two doors down from our office.
I didn't mean to derail you there.
No, that's okay. But we were having a discussion about, and my point is not that coaches necessarily on purpose alter their calls on the field to reflect a spread. But, Williams, in your opinion, do most, you can never say all, but do most college coaches going into a game know what the point spread is?
Yes.
That was my theory, too, because the joke was that Campbell knew the spread at the end of the game and opted to kick that field goal so Iowa State would cover. And that's not far-fetched, in my opinion. Get a win for the people that backed your team.
I don't think that he willingly kicks a field goal to cover the spread. I think that most coaches are just way more interested in the look of a scoreboard.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, the game's out. Like, you're not going to win. And it looks better to have 20 points than trying
17.
To score a touchdown there and probably not getting it and getting 17. And that's why, like, at the end of the game, like, I saw, why is he punting? Well, because at that point, you're not even trying to win. You're building toward the future, and you're mm-hmm. building on improving your team and going for it on, I'm just giving an example. I don't know if this even happened, but, like, if it's 4th and 20, Like, there's really no – if you don't punt, you're probably not going to get it, and then the score is going to look worse at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I think it has more to do with, like, psyche for your team and stuff to not get completely killed and to put more points on the board than it does we want to cover the spread. I don't
– and for a lot of teams, that doesn't matter. But for Iowa State's fragile mind right now, it's that's important.
And I think they know the spread, but I don't think coaches think of it in a gambling sense like we do.
They look at it more like we're slighted.
This is what the experts think. Oh, we're going to use this as motivation.
Yeah.
One way or another.
Yeah.
I did ask Jeff Woody that on CFTV Live.
Did
he? He said that they were always aware of it for a motivational factor, but he does not buy that Campbell was kicking that field goal for that. And I don't necessarily either, but it is one of those, sure, we're 0-3, but you don't want to be 0-3 and 0-3 against the spread because that means you suck even worse.
Yeah.
I mean,
it means that somebody else is right about you. They've got you pegged as a team,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You're this much worse than that team, and you went out and proved them right.
Yep.
Like, part of you is like, yeah, we lost the game, but screw Vegas. Yeah. We're better than that. So, no, I don't think, to be fair, I don't think the coaches are playing the game for that. There's plenty of evidence the opposite direction of teams that aren't covering and the coaches don't care in the NFL and college when they're basically, you know, a score away from covering and the coaches are sitting on the ball. You know, they're not trying to score. They're basically running into the middle of the pile for three straight plays. So, yeah, I don't think that's the case at all. But I do think the coaches are aware. It's almost impossible not to be since ESPN's incorporated the line in everything that they do now.
Well, yeah, it's not a – like, if you go to, like, CBS,
mm-hmm.
I think – talk about this on the show a lot. I think CBS Sports website is – I think it's the best sports website.
Really?
Just like in general stuff,
yeah.
Like compared to like ESPN or Fox or anything like that, I think CBS blows everybody away.
Wow.
And they do stuff on betting lines. They have an entire – or in like Sporting News, for instance, has an entire website dedicated to gambling. ESPN has podcasts dedicated to gambling. Reason is people click on it. And even if they're not betting –
yeah,
it's interesting fodder.
What is your take, though? And this has always been interesting to me, and I think 5 years from now this will be irrelevant, but for now it is relevant. You've got this disconnect where you've got the Scott Van Pelts of the world that talk openly about gambling and tough beats. You've got all the websites that are showing the lines. You've got all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And ostensibly the only place you can legally do this is Las Vegas. And these people know that the vast majority, 99% of the people they're talking to, aren't in Las Vegas. So they're basically building up something that's illegal, so to speak. Why do they do it? Just because they know it's one of those things that people look the other way and everyone's doing it regardless? Everybody has their friend they're betting with or their local bookie or whatever the case may be. They act as if it's a legal entity and we can go down to Prairie Meadows and place a bet when we can't. Otherwise, what's the point of all the gambling information that they're telling us about and the breakdowns of the spreads and everything that they're doing? That's always seemed odd to me that they do that.
Okay, here's how I would answer that, because we do this on our show all the time. We don't do it with the NFL because there's parity there.
Yeah.
Like in college football, I mean, there's just so many games. If you look up and down at the games this weekend, if you were just going to pick winners, it's boring.
Yeah.
That's easy. Like anybody can pick winners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at like 15-point spread. Like, Iowa State was a 24-point underdog in a Big 12 game last week.
Yeah.
That's too easy.
Yeah.
That's why I do it, because it's like, I don't know.
Test your
like
knowledge a little
Nebraska
bit more.
Nebraska and Northwestern this weekend. Oh, of course we're all
going to pick Nebraska.
7.5-point
spread.
We're all going to agree, but if you have to pick against the number, then all of a sudden it's
challenging.
There are way more talking points with that. That's why I do it. It's not like to promote gambling. It's more just... I don't know if it's going to be that big of a blowout. You know, it takes you down the directions, many more directions.
Are you of the mindset, though, that you think within a reasonable period of time it will become legal? I think it's inevitable.
I think it will.
Of the tax money that it could generate.
Yeah, and just our society evolves. Just like I think that marijuana will be legal.
Especially when things are legal other places, like sports betting's legal in Europe.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's common over there.
Eventually, and I know there's negative research that goes to the marijuana thing too, but eventually these other states are going to be like, man, look at Colorado cashing in.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their beautiful schools and their awesome roads and all this stuff. And there are negatives to it too, right? No question. However, like everybody has to make a decision at some point, like do the benefits outweigh the negatives? And in a tough economic society for a lot of these states.
Yeah.
I think that they do find different ways to get in the black and get out of the red, and I think it will be. I don't know, like, I mean, I've talked to Whitford about it. He's come on our show and talked about it quite a bit.
I mean, and he's been pro fantasy gambling, so to speak. I mean,
this sounds terrible, but the more, like, these old congressmen die off,
yep,
you're going to have a
lot of change.
I'm not even the word liberal, because that's not accurate. More,
I would say more libertarian, meaning let people make their own choices versus government dictating them.
That's fair. There's just less of an old school way of looking at things. Yeah. A lot of a 70-year-old congressman treat the world like it's still 1960.
And a lot of people think too, and you know, not to get political, and I don't think overall this is.
I don't think this is.
But there's a lot to be said for letting adults be adults. So if you want to gamble, gamble. If you want to do some drugs, do some drugs. The line, if you, whatever you want to do in your bedroom, do in your bedroom. The line gets drawn when your behavior hurts somebody else. And until that line is crossed, I don't care what you do.
Yeah, and that's where the studies of, like, marijuana being like a gateway drug and all that's when that conversation gets a lot more broad.
Eager for Adam's take here.
No, you guys.
It's hot political take.
No.
I don't even think we're being political, really. I think it's common sense. That's the problem when people talk about politics. They don't think about
common
sense very often.
We have a governor that's been a governor forever. I mean, not consecutively, but forever. And he's not going to be quick to change his ways.
He's not going to legalize. Terry Branstad is not going to legalize marijuana in Iowa.
Not until he has a reason to do so. And as of now, I don't think he has that reason.
No.
So yeah, I don't know what it's going to take. But the gambling thing, I think, will change. Within the next 10 years, I think we'll have sports betting.
When senators like Whitford's age now are the majority, that's when changes like that start to happen.
Are you saying Whitford likes marijuana?
No, I'm not. In fact, I know Whitford would not vote for that.
Yeah.
Whitford, he absolutely wouldn't. He's way too conservative for that. But my point is when that generation is – the majority there, that's when changes start to happen.
Well, it is frustrating, too, when you have to make tough decisions, things like, you know, you got to cut programs at schools for kids, and you might not have to if you simply legalize sports betting.
Yeah.
Then legalize sports betting. It seems simple to me.
I'm totally with you.
It seems simple, but whatever. Sorry we talked politics on the Fawcast.
I don't think that was a political conversation. Again, I think that was a common sense conversation.
Chris and I have our own conversations via text. He thinks I'm stupid, but whatever.
We each think each other is stupid.
Here's the point about politics
You guys do political text messages back and forth?
Occasionally. Yeah.
I stopped doing that with Williams because he gets pissy.
Well, here's the difference, though.
I'm passionate.
Chris is clearly on one side of the aisle. I'm clearly on the other, and that's fine.
Well, Chris is a media member.
But what drives me nuts, and Chris hasn't said we can't be friends anymore, and I'm glad for that, is I feel like I can have a conversation with somebody that I completely disagree with.
Correct.
And still be their friend.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been able to distance myself from that. I don't like people that are like, I can't be a friend with that person because their ideology is a little bit different than mine.
The way I always look at it is, I've told Gray this a million times, like, every single human being is brought up a different way. You're brought up in a different household. You're brought up in a different economic society. I grew up in Southwest Iowa, which is very different from a kid who would grow up in Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I once had I'm not going to get too specific here, but like if you're a African American male and you grow up in Detroit, you're going to have a much different view on the world than any of us will.
No question.
So like when people get like all pissy and hateful about policy discussions, it just drives me nuts, because like, who am I to say that Mark and your financial and economic who am I the hell to tell you know what's best for your family and what's best for your I can't do that because I don't know.
And
same with you to me, like, everybody is just lives in a different world. We all live in the same world, but we all live in very different scenarios.
And with the upcoming election too, I think that another thing that bothers me a little bit is we can make assumptions, and we do all day long, but come next January 20th or whenever they inaugurate, I think it's the 20th of January, we don't know what will happen, whoever's elected.
Mm-hmm.
We can assume and make assumptions about that all day long, but you have to let these things play out too. And the reality is, the way that I view the world is, no matter who wins, I'm not going to blame the president for the outcome of my life, I'm going to go out and do the things
Absolutely.
I need to do.
I'd agree with that.
And I think too many people put the blame on somebody else instead of going out and controlling their own life. You talked about in our text the other day how, you know, your life hasn't been that bad in the past 4 years or whatever. Well, it's because you've worked your ass off.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah.
You can give Obama credit, but I would say it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you worked your ass off versus, oh, it's just, you know, the White House made me successful.
I
don't buy that mentality at all.
Just in defense of myself, you said that I'm very clearly on one side of the aisle. I would disagree with that.
In our text about who we're talking about,
yeah.
To clarify.
Oh, yeah.
To clarify.
I think anybody who listens to me or knows that I'm very anti-Donald Trump more than I am pro
yeah.
the other candidate.
Yeah.
But whatever. I would say just to stay off of Twitter and Facebook and everything next Monday night.
So that's the debate,
is that the
yeah,
debate?
That's the debate.
Are you eagerly awaiting watching it, though?
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, just to see it.
I'm looking forward to that as much as like any football game that I've seen in a long time.
I heard it's not even a statistic, but I heard that usually the challenger, so to speak, which in this case is Trump, historically usually wins the first debate. Not entirely sure why.
That's what happened with Obama and Romney.
Romney did, yeah.
Yeah, and then as they have more, maybe it irons itself out a little bit. But
what's interesting about what's going to happen on Monday night is, like, what the key is it CNN?
I don't know, honestly, who's doing it.
Like, the key will be to get them to actually talk about policies and not just attack each other.
Each other. Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to see
that. They haven't yet this entire time.
I know. So that's what's interesting to me to see.
There's a lot of pressure, too, on the moderator. Because when Lauer did his thing, he got hammered.
I think it's Jake Tapper, and he's about the best guy you can get because he's kind of just a bulldog towards each side. Everybody hates Jake Tapper.
I thought people were unfair to Matt Lauer. I really did. I thought people were unfair to him. I thought he was okay.
He was a little bit soft, but he was okay. What drives me nuts about
I didn't see it. I was on RVP.
What drives me nuts about politicians, really quickly in a nutshell, was Tim Kaine, the vice president candidate, was being interviewed after this latest bombing stuff in New York, and the question was about how Hillary's administration would be better at preventing these types of things. That was the question, right? And he made some quick bullet point and then immediately went to how after 9/11, Hillary got health care for the responders down there. Zero to do with the question.
That's
nothing
what they
to
do.
And that's why politics sucks.
Yeah,
that's and that's what's going to happen in the debate. A question will be asked, and then they'll go into some other territory.
They'll never answer the question.
That's why, did you see what Mark Cuban challenged towards Trump?
I did, yeah. $10 million bucks or something?
Yeah,
I mean that.
But my question to Mark Cuban, and I love Mark Cuban, by the way. I love him. Where is he challenging any other political candidate to do the same thing?
Well, it's because he does. That's because he thinks Trump's a fraud.
No, I'm not arguing with him. I'm not arguing with him at all.
Yeah, he's saying.
But they're all frauds, Chris. They're all frauds.
Okay, that's your opinion, but I'm telling you that Cuban thinks that Trump is so vastly unqualified.
I think he thinks that Trump is stupid when it comes to world affairs and things
Cuban
like that.
Cuban is motivated to call Trump out. And plus, you got to act like, I mean, I'm sure Cubans had run-ins with other politicians, but him and Trump swim in the same pool all the time. So,
they've always had bad blood.
Yeah, there's bad blood there, so that's why he's specifically calling out
Cuban, like 4 years ago, said Trump can't buy the bills or something because he doesn't have enough liquid cash. Like, they've always been butting heads.
So that's your answer. That's why.
But Cuban did that for a very specific reason. Yeah. Cuban did that knowing Trump would not accept that, but he issues the challenge and Trump doesn't do it, and Trump then looks bad.
I've had this conversation with you, Chris. I think all politicians are the same as far as they don't answer the question. They skirt around it. But Trump is not a politician, so he is so bad at it, he comes off so much worse. Hillary's been in this her whole entire life.
Yeah, that's what she does.
She does this for a living, so when she comes across, she really says the same thing as Donald Trump. She just says it in a lot better way.
She's a lot more tact.
The most amazing thing about this election cycle has been how bad Trump is. In his public speeches and everything, and what he said, and none of it matters.
No, I know.
None of it matters.
Really doesn't.
If you are on Team Hillary, it has to be driving you nuts see Trump do what he's doing.
I'll just say this, and people can get pissed off at me.
Both
sides suck, and if you say one side sucks more than the other, you're lying because they have an R or D in their name. Both of those candidates are equally terrible for different reasons. They equally suck.
I'm on I'm on record being a John Kasich guy myself.
I love John Kasich. He makes too much sense, but, though, doesn't he?
He doesn't yell at people, he doesn't wave his arms and say, hey, look at me, and that's why he didn't get the attention he deserved.
At a minimum, out of all of this, hopefully the system will change a little bit moving forward.
You had another theory on Cuban?
Yeah.
I think he'll run for president someday.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm not the first person who said that, too. I truly do.
Well, he came out early before, and he was throwing his name in to be VP for both Donald or Hillary.
I think that he will run for president.
See, if he hates Donald so much, why would he have done that?
I think that he will be a Republican nominee someday. And plus, his ego's just large enough to dip into that.
All those egos are large.
That's what I'm saying. You have to have a massive ego, and Cuban's is there.
Where Trump may not be as rich as he claims, I think Cuban probably is as rich as he claims. So he could self-fund pretty easily if he wanted to. I don't know why anybody would want to be president.
My God, I wouldn't.
You know? That job's, I mean, not literally a killer, but you look at these presidents from when they start to when they stop and their physical change.
Yeah.
God, there's got to be a lot of stress in that job.
I just want to get back to where the presidents are actually debating on the policies and not just debating on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the moderator is key on Monday night, and hopefully they hold them to that.
They won't. I'm just telling you.
It's really hard to do. Like, that, the job of that moderator, it doesn't matter who it is, if you're Matt Lauer or Jake Tapper or Sean Hannity, it's a thankless job. Because no matter what you do, you know, if it's if you challenge them, you get crushed. If you want to let the candidates duke it out, you get crushed. Like, it's a thankless job.
Yep, no, I agree.
Especially in one that this toxic.
I liked, there was something that came out. Hannity was in an ad for Trump, was in it, I think. I don't know if he was stumping for him. I didn't actually see the ad, but Fox News came out and said he's not going to do that anymore. I'm like, does anybody in the right mind think that he wasn't already pro-Trump? Like, the fair and balanced thing is the biggest joke ever.
Isn't, like, Fox and Friends and Hannity, like, the only shows that Trump will go on now?
I thought I read that. I don't think anybody in their right mind thinks
seems
that
like
Hannity
he's on
was
TV
pro-Hillary.
Nonstop. Well, you can't turn on the TV without Donald Trump being interviewed.
That's because it's usually because he's doing, like, these rallies, and they're just televising it. Like,
He does do 1,000 more interviews than Hillary.
Well, I think he did. I don't think he is anymore because he has that new campaign manager.
I had to stop watching. I couldn't take it anymore.
New campaign manager of his is basically saying, like, don't talk. Seriously, I'm not kidding. Like, she came on board and she, like, cut it all off.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. Hillary was in such a lead, so she doesn't need to talk, right?
Correct.
Just stay back, let him make
just
a fool of himself.
Just let him just blow it up.
If you want to go full conspiracy theory, though, the reason she's not as available is health.
What did you say she had?
Well, I didn't say she has something. I'm not a doctor. Based on that one video after the 9/11 memorial where she basically is collapsing into the van. That's their theory. She has pneumonia, yet she's out in public shaking hands and talking to kids and stuff. Doesn't make sense for me. No, but there's a working theory out there all over the internet. You can find it easily that she has Parkinson's. She's hiding it.
There's going to be so many people mad that we just talked about politics.
Oh,
but if she,
for sure.
But if
I hope that people aren't idiots, though. Like, it's not like we're not throwing fireballs on this thing.
No.
If Hillary does have one more episode like she had in New York City, though, in my opinion, she's done at that point. There's already a lot of questions if she's healthy or not. So one more public episode like that, I think the race would be over.
I think Hillary with Parkinson's is still better than the alternative. But
the State of the Union address will be interesting to watch.
I don't like either option.
That's for sure.
Let's take a minute here. Can I interject and then change this over?
Yeah. You bet.
I want to wish a happy birthday to my beautiful wife. Turned 25 today, Julie.
Who doesn't ever listen. So.
She doesn't listen, but, you know, maybe somebody listening here knows her, and then they say, oh, shoot, it's Julie's birthday, and they'll reach out to her and wish her happy birthday.
That's nice of you.
Yeah, just wanted to do that. And then also get us off the political discussion.
So I don't forget, I'd like to pre-wish my wife a happy birthday. It's in April. So happy birthday in case I forget.
My wife's coming up in February. So, again, happy birthday to her.
Mine's actually today. Quit being an asshole.
I saw Chris and his, as Keith would say, his hot wife this weekend at the orchard over in Cambridge.
That was a good day.
Yeah, that was nice weather. Did you? Were you still there when all the sorority girls showed up at the end?
What was that?
We're at the orchard, which is like a family place, and suddenly there's like hundreds of like sorority girls and dresses and stuff showing up.
This is making your day,
dude. They were.
It wasn't bad.
They were.
I'll be honest.
No, this one girl, and I didn't even see it. My wife pointed it out to me.
Yeah.
We're on the hayride.
Sure. Yep. Sure.
No, I really didn't. I swear to God. Apparently, one girl's skirt like was completely. All the way up.
You can see her butt cheeks.
You can see more than that, apparently.
Really?
I didn't see it. I swear to God. But, like, these girls all, they come to this orchard dressed like they were basically going to like the club.
Lots of club shoes and short skirts and so, not orchard attire.
Did you ask? Like, do you know?
I never did.
Sorority?
No, I never did. It had to have been. Some of the girls looked younger, school, but there are plenty that looked like they were in college.
Maybe they thought it was a club. Yeah. No. Someone. What was the name of this? What was the name of this orchard?
What is that orchard called? It's a great orchard.
It's the. It's in Cambridge.
Yeah.
I've been to that one.
I don't know what it's called.
It's
a place that's got those donuts.
Yeah. That place mints money, dude.
It's expensive, dude. You go there. It's
My wife and I and Seton, our younger kids were free. It was $38 for us to get in.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's criminal.
And then we had to pay extra for the Apple slingshot. Put apples into a slingshot.
My wife has a season pass. I don't really know how much it costs.
Probably costs like $90.
I think it's like $50. Yeah.
I don't get season passes. Like, that's just it.
Her and Cammy go all the time.
Like, I can go once and be, that's fine, you know, but over and over and over again.
Dude,
meanwhile,
Cammy goes crazy there. She just loves it.
Williams says to me, I'm going to go blind. Do you got any picks for the NFL? Because this was Sunday. And I just happened to give him 4 picks, and I went 4-0.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So if you
were able to make those hypothetically, bets, you probably would have taken
it. If I was in Vegas, I would have cashed in on that big time.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
I went 4-0.
I don't ever try the NFL. I don't even think
about it. And hypothetically, if we were betting dollars, you would have won less than I did.
Definitely less than you did, for sure. Although, I did get the Sunday night game wrong.
I got that one right.
I got it wrong big time.
I technically went 5-0 if you count that.
I did not see Aaron Rodgers stinking so bad.
He
was horrible.
Did you see that baby yesterday, Aaron Rodgers?
Mm-mm.
Oh, he's whining, bitching and moaning to the media. It's funny.
About what?
About people questioning the Packers offense. It's pretty funny.
Well,
you have to Google it when we're done.
They started 6-0 last year, and since then they're like, 7-10 or something?
Were you telling the truth about his quarterback rating?
He hasn't had over 100 in the last 14 games.
He looks rattled, man. Like,
he wasn't even close
to
those throws.
He wasn't.
I wonder what's happening.
Sam Bradford looked like a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. There's no question he outplayed him that game. No question.
Okay, can I get this shot done? Just get it over with.
Great. You got to periscope this.
We got to do picks first.
Just let me sit
and look at it. It's part
let me knock it out.
Let him knock it out. If you get Periscope up, we'll do it.
I'll get the Periscope up.
I'm going to get a chaser here real quick.
So we'll do.
Yeah, you might want one today.
Charter, why don't you tell everyone here?
So the ongoing theory about what I was going to do, which, hey, maybe will happen later this year, was wet cat food has a very distinctive smell. And I was going to open up a can of wet cat food, and the juice in the can was going to be the shot. But I had a few people say that was basically cruel, an unusual punishment. So
why
may happen later this year, but it's not happening now. And again, the main reason is because I may lose coming up, and if he wins, he could easily get some retaliation. So for now, we're sticking with food-based products. You know, last week was breast milk. Everybody knows about that.
It actually wasn't bad.
This week, I don't know how this is going to taste. We can all agree that it does not look good. The coloring on this.
It looks like dehydrated urine, basically.
Yeah. So this is a combination of three things.
Dehydrated urine.
you've got apple cider vinegar.
Is that not accurate?
Apple cider vinegar is in this, which stinks. I hate the smell of vinegar. Combined with pickle juice. So I have a jar of pickles at home. I scoop some juice out of that. So we got, and then just for good measure, an extra flavor, Dijon mustard is in here. So this is vinegar, pickle juice, and mustard. All combined.
I do like how you put it in a baby formula cup again.
So we're going to pour him a shot. I literally feel bad as I'm doing this.
Fill that sucker up.
I know.
That's fine.
Like, God, I'm smelling it right now.
I just want to knock it out. Right. I don't want to think about it. I just want to take the shot.
How long does he have to wait before he can take this chaser?
He can take the chaser. Well, I mean, he has to swallow the shot first.
Yeah.
So good luck with that. I don't know how bad it's going to be, but it's probably going to be pretty horrible. So
payback's a bitch.
Cheers to you.
Oh my God,
he's having trouble with that one.
The pickle juice.
This is clutch.
Oh man, Grady, you want to smell it at least?
No, I'm good, man.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, I'm a little stuffy.
You should crack that open and see if you can smell it.
Honestly, the pickle juice just dominated that thing.
Did it?
It helped.
Not the vinegar?
No, it was. I mean, I felt the vinegar. Trust me.
Yeah.
I can really feel the vinegar now.
1 to 10, how bad did it taste?
It was so sour.
Yeah. Did you taste any of the Dijon mustard at all?
No. The pickle juice dominated that.
I'm crying.
Your choice of a chaser is comical to me.
Well, because I wanted something strong.
Something strong.
If I just would have done water with that, it wouldn't have done as much.
Oh, man. Good. Okay, now we can do picks.
Ah!
Oh. Wow. All right.
I think Gray should smell. Just open it up. See if it wafts up to your nose.
See if I can get some of this here.
Oh, God. I need to win this week.
That doesn't smell too bad. It just smells like pickles.
It was,
and vinegar. I smell the vinegar in there.
It was very strong pickle juice, but
yeah. All right. Well, he took the shot. So that's good.
I'm a man.
Another week behind him. Moving on.
What are you going to take next week after you lose again this week?
I hope I don't. Last week was one, as far as my picks go, I think that might be the worst week I've ever had. Not just with this, but just with everything, with our Cyclone Fanatic ones and everything. I was so off on everything.
Can you update us on the season standings?
Yeah, Charter had a good week last week. He went 3-1-1. I went 2-2-1. The tie that we have, you had Oregon plus 3, I had Nebraska plus 3, ended up being a push.
Yep.
Williams at 1-4. So for the season standings, I am now 6-4-1. I got a lead over Charter, who's 5-5-1. And Williams dropped big time, 4-7 now.
Yeah, I need a good week.
All right. All right.
Can I start since I'm the loser?
You bet.
Go ahead.
I'm going to take both Iowa teams.
I like it.
I'm going to take both Iowa teams.
So Iowa's minus 13.5?
Yeah, I like Iowa. I got it 13 right now.
Okay.
You can see it.
Yep.
Minus 13 at Rutgers, and I like Iowa State at minus 6.5. I wish it was minus 6 because I think it could come down to field goals.
You think Coldnett might miss an extra point?
No, it's more I think that I wouldn't be surprised if both teams result to kicking some field goals.
Okay.
I could see it being a 6-point
game. I'm going to jump in like because I'm also on both of those games with one difference, though. I am reluctantly, and I don't know why I'm doing this. I really don't. I'm taking Iowa State minus the 6.
6.5?
I got a 6.
It's 6.5 right now.
So are you going to give it to us at 6 or 6?
6.5.
Okay.
I don't know if I wanted it at 6.5, honestly.
He just went through this whole spiel how he wants it at 6.
Well, I had it at 6, but whatever. Look up scoresandodds.com. See what they've got it
to. I'll take it at 6.
We've always used Vegas Insider, guys. This is a long-standing tradition.
The Vegas Insider consensus line is 6.5.
All right. Well, I might be changing this pick then, so don't hold me to that one yet. But I'm going to take Rutgers plus 13 on that one. I'm not convinced the Hawks are a great team at Rutgers.
I don't think
Iowa wins the game.
I don't think they're great, but I think Rutgers is that bad.
Yeah, it's possible. I've been wrong before.
Oh, God, I just burped up that shot.
that's the worst part,
are you,
man.
Are you working out after this?
No.
Oh, that's the worst part.
I don't have time today, but so.
All right, I might have to look up a different game. I'm not in love with that 6.5.
All right, I'll start here. I got the Friday night game. I got Utah minus 3 at home against USC. USC is a train wreck.
They're terrible.
Did I hear that one of their players took a swing at the head coach the other day?
Wouldn't surprise me.
I feel bad for him, too, because I think that he's actually probably doing things the right way.
You are right. The line has moved to 6.5.
You're talking about a bunch of guys who Sark recruited and probably a few leftovers from the Lane Kiffin era, and they're not wanting to be disciplined.
Yeah.
And it's not going well. That's a good pick, Adam. I like that pick.
Yeah, I like Utah a lot.
This brings up an interesting question. You don't see this a lot. It's Thursday morning at 11:25. Why is the Iowa State-San Jose State moving a half point now?
Usually what's moving them is
money.
There's
a lot of money coming in?
When I looked yesterday, it was 6.5, too. I think your line just might be off.
This morning, it was 6 on this site. Now it's 6.5. So I don't know. But that seems weird to move now versus closer to the game. Anyway.
I like both Iowa and Iowa State in that one.
You're taking those?
No, I'm not taking them.
Oh, okay.
I like them, though.
Yeah. Okay, my next one. I feel really good about this one. And so does everybody else, apparently, because the lines moved by 2. And I don't like that because usually people are wrong. People are stupid. I'm going to take Oklahoma State at plus 8 at Baylor. In fact, if I were in Vegas, I would probably bet money line on Oklahoma State.
Really?
I'm down on Baylor. I've watched them play. They have not been impressive. However, I saw like Phil Steele picked Baylor with the spread, so there's clearly another way of looking at this. Yeah. And the fact that all the public money's on Oklahoma State makes me think that this is a terrible pick, but I'm going to go with my gut. And
I agree, though, that Baylor's not looked good. I've watched them as well.
But neither is Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma State, though, they've got a better coaching, I think. And Baylor's had a really weird week with the Sean Oakman, Art Briles stuff. And I just can't imagine they're that focused. And I think that after losing to Central Michigan, a really tough game against Pitt, I feel like Gundy is going to have them ready. So I'm going to take – I think the Cowboys are better than people believe.
Yeah. This is a tough game because would it surprise you if Baylor won by 21 or Oklahoma State won by 21?
No, it wouldn't. I probably shouldn't be picking this one. But
no, but if Oklahoma State went down there and won 47-30, it would not surprise me at all.
Me either. It's a weird
– those two teams, I don't think you'll know anything about those teams until week seven or eight.
Probably not.
All right, I'm off of the Iowa State game. I don't like that hook at the 6.5, so I'm going to –
You just – the half point.
I'm bailing on that.
That's
man.
A true gambler right there.
Absolutely.
He's afraid of Cole Netton.
The hook – yeah, the hook screws me too often. All right, it did not work last week, and this is probably the dumbest pick I'm going to make this week.
God.
But there's a couple of reasons, and I'm going to say trends. I'm taking the NFL game tonight again. I'm taking the Pats plus the one at home. I realize their quarterback is a nobody, but – the Pats at home are a dominant team. They've won their last six Thursday night games in a row. I think this game tonight is more about coaching, defense, and running than it is about their quarterback throwing the ball. So they'll figure out a way to win.
The quarterback is the most important position on the field for every team except the Patriots. It's been proven over and over again. It doesn't matter who's there. Tom Brady's out. Clearly overrated. I think we've seen that now, right? There's one guy listening right now who absolutely hates me because he hates that I always rip on Tom Brady. So right now I think he threw his cup across the table. But Bill Belichick is 5-0 in games in which he starts a first-time quarterback, and they haven't lost when they've been underdogs at home since, what, 2005, 2004?
Yeah. I think you can make an argument very easily that I would believe, and I do believe that under the circumstances that we know, Brady is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. However, if Brady had been the quarterback for the Seahawks the whole time or any other team, he may not be nearly as good as he is now. He has benefited from a fantastic system that fits his skill set.
Correct. He's probably closer to like Sean Hill, really, overall when it comes to it's. Is that the shot that's still getting you there a little bit? All right.
You lose so much credibility when you make comments like that.
I'm sorry. Hey, here's a fact for you. The Patriots are 13-5 in which games that Brady doesn't start. The Dallas Cowboys are like 2-14. Tony Romo's clearly a more important, better player than Tom Brady.
By the way, also, if the Patriots are winning at halftime tonight, it's over. Like, their record at Gillette Stadium when leading at halftime is something like 80-0 or something. It's ridiculous.
Talk about Romo. Like, you just compared Tom Brady to Sean Hill. Like, that's so stupid.
No, that's kind of dumb.
That is just, like, asinine.
Yeah. I mean, I think if he played
like
for let's say
Trump,
like the Redskins,
like
he'd probably
the
be
like
Sean
Hill.
It's
like comments. Like, I'm sorry, I have to call it out. Like that. Like I don't.
I'm going to call you Krogs right now. If you can't sense the sarcasm that I'm putting
Greg
up down
can't
right now,
help trolling.
I mean, I am extremely sarcastic.
Oh my God.
I am partially serious, in which I think Tom Brady is slightly overrated.
I understand that, and I'm fine with that. But you bring in the Sean Hill conversation.
It's because people get so emotional about it. They get so emotional. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, and if you say anything different, then you're an idiot. Same thing with Michael Jordan. If you bring anyone in the history of basketball into the conversation as being the best ever, you're an idiot because Michael Jordan's clearly the answer.
Well, he is.
Whatever. All right. Pick.
Is it my pick?
No, it's mine. My second game. Like this one a lot. Michigan State at home, -5.5 against Wisconsin.
I'm taking that one, too. All right. Look, that was next on my list.
I'm glad I didn't also pick that one because I'm with you guys on that one. That would have been boring.
I think Wisconsin got way too big of a bump after LSU. And
LSU's offense is horrible.
Michigan State looked
big,
good.
Emotional game.
Yeah. They gave up some points to Notre Dame, but they looked good.
Yeah. That's a coaching mismatch, too. D'Antonio versus Chris.
Yep, I agree with you guys, unfortunately, because I don't want you to win games, but I think you're right on that one. All right, Chris, your turn.
Picked. I just picked.
All right, so I've got the Pats. I've got –
Hey, time out. Yeah. The Oklahoma State's at 8.5 now.
All right.
Just pointing that out.
That'll help you.
You see that, Gray?
Plus 8.5?
Yep.
Kay. Pats, I've got Rutgers, I got my next pick. Again, it seems like – I've watched a lot of football, and it seems like the spreads in these types of games are always about the same, and it is again here – Bama is a 44-point favorite over Kent State.
Yep.
I'm going to take Kent State in this game. Bama is in games like this. They don't have a lot of incentive to kill anybody. They sit on the ball towards the end. It only takes a couple of scores to cover. So I like Kent State.
All right. Kent State.
I'd bet that one. I bet Kent State, too. Bama classically lets down against teams like that.
Yeah. They don't run it up. Kent State alum quarterback Julian Edelman might get some action tonight at quarterback.
I was talking about that on the show yesterday. Ross didn't believe me that he started the game and won at Jack Trice Stadium.
He did. Chizik's first year.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yep. My next three picks are all going to be underdogs. I'm taking East Carolina on the road at Virginia Tech plus 11.5.
Fan of the Pirates.
Yeah, you know, they always seem to do pretty good.
Well, how did they do last week, by the way, East Carolina? Because someone was predicting they would win that game.
They lost to South Carolina 20-15, I believe.
But covered.
I don't think they covered. I think they're 3.5 point.
Oh, dogs. Really?
They covered their first two. They beat North Carolina State the first week or second week, yep. And they beat somebody else.
Yep.
Virginia Tech actually killed me last week because I had that under in that BC game.
Mm-hmm.
Boston College scored 0, which you'd think would hit on an under.
Yep.
Virginia Tech scored 49. I think it's kind of a myth. I don't think Virginia Tech's that good to
BC's
be getting
bad.
11.5. So I'll take East Carolina on the road, and I'll take the 11.5 points.
Chris Williams.
I wanted to take.
Williams already got 4 picks. You go, Charlie.
Yeah, I'm okay. Still looking. Can I just a little quick analysis here?
Yeah.
I really wanted West Virginia at home against BYU, but it's up to 7. It started at 1.5. That's way too much action for me.
This is one pick that I love, even
Stay
though
the hell away
I,
from that.
I don't ever typically love road favorites, but in this game I do, especially if you look back at the last couple of years and consider that this team has one of the best players in the country. I'm taking Stanford minus 3 over UCLA. Stanford's a good team. They get it done. Great player. And they have whooped UCLA the last 2 years. So I like that game.
All right. I got my last one.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to ride. I don't like the hook here. I don't like it at all. But they're coming off of a win. And Northwestern sucks. And Nebraska will absolutely swarm that stadium.
That's a brutal line. It's 7.5.
I know. I don't like the hook, but I think Nebraska will win that by like 3 touchdowns.
I love this. I love your guys' last two picks because I'm opposite of both of you.
Oh, okay, great.
I got Northwestern plus 7.5 at home. They always seem to play Nebraska good at home, it seems like.
Beat them last year.
Yep. They
did beat them last year.
He's a good coach. They started off, they struggled. They got a win. I think maybe a little bit of momentum. And Nebraska's coming off that huge high. I think everyone's overreacting to a home win against Oregon.
Yeah, I don't think Oregon's that. I'm making the pick more because I think Northwestern's bad.
Yeah.
And I think that I know how Nebraska fans are just going to completely litter that stadium. It'll be like a pseudo home game.
Tommy Armstrong throws 3 picks.
Probably.
They might still win this game. I like Northwestern plus 7.5, and then I'll take UCLA plus 3 against Stanford.
I also thought about Houston at 34.5 at Texas State because I think knowing Herman.
Runs
like
it up.
I do. I think Herman's just going to freaking kill everybody he can.
His offense really isn't that great. That's that defense.
Defensive line. Did you watch that D-line versus Cincinnati in the second half? My God.
Yeah, that defense is good.
Would that be the best defensive line in the Big 12?
It looked good. I watched
you know
that game.
Defense sucks? Oklahoma's defense is so slow. Sideline to sideline, that defense looks like Iowa State's out there moving.
Like, how does that even happen?
I have no idea. And that's why I'm so pissed I took them last week.
Yeah.
Because I saw in the Houston game, 2 series into that game, I said their defense is slow.
Yeah.
And yet I still took them to cover against Ohio State. It made no sense.
Dude, I'm telling you, that was coaching, man. Urban Meyer, a great coach. Gets things done out of his players. Last game here, I'm going to take the Pitt Panthers plus 7 in North Carolina. I've watched a few Pitt games now, and they're not a great team, but they're good enough to cover 7 points, and they could win that game too.
There's a good chance Charter goes 0-13 this week. Or 0-5.
Well, I didn't pick 13 games.
0-5, I'm sorry. I was looking at the 13 spot here.
I will admit that all 5 of my picks are right on that iffy spectrum.
I don't like my Nebraska pick. Greg kind of talked me out of that. You made good points.
But I think I would rather – the question is –
you make good points. I'm giving you some –
I appreciate it.
The question, if I do lose, then who would I rather have give me the shot? Probably Williams, because I think it'll be non-alcohol related and – he'll get creative.
Is it bad that you and I are both like, we'd rather not drink alcohol?
Well, it just seems for the purposes of this, it seems like it's just too easy to do that. You know, you should get creative.
I might just give you just a straight up shot of bourbon.
Something. Are we almost out of time so I can plug what's coming up here?
Yeah, we are out of time.
So I want to plug this. So like I was saying earlier, the Fawcast is fun and football and all of that stuff. So
Other than the political talk today.
So
people are going to get mad.
So later today, I'm doing an interview.
Stick to sports.
Yeah, that hopefully you guys will come back for. It's definitely not Fawcast related. It's a special edition of the Fawcast. Just like we were saying, special edition of Growing Pains and Different Strokes. Those fun shows, every once in a while, had a serious episode. That's what we're doing. So I'm going to be interviewing later today Noreen Gosh. For those that are not familiar, that's Johnny Gosch's mother. Johnny was kidnapped from West Des Moines in 1982. Probably Iowa's most famous kidnapping case. It's debatable, but I think it is. And we're going to be talking about that what happened, and then go a lot deeper than why he was kidnapped. It isn't this isn't a case of nobody knows what happened to him. She does know what happened to him, and she's going to be talking about that. And it's not it won't be a lighthearted edition of the podcast. We probably won't even call it a podcast, but it'll be something, especially if you have children, that I think you'll be interested to learn. And she'll have some tips, I think, on how to maybe best protect your kids. So that'll be coming up. I don't know when it'll be posted, but we're recording later today.
Do you? Are you going to be on this, Gray?
I will be recording it.
Gray's welcome to throw in a question.
I might throw a question or two, but I'm going to kind of let Charter handle this one.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to that, I think.
So maybe not.
Yeah. Kind of a downer, but it'll be interesting for sure.
Go Clones.
All right. See you guys. Have a great day.